This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A gap between national politics and our general well-being. I'm David Brancaccio. First e-cigarette maker Juul has agreed to settle thousands of lawsuits over how it marketed vaping. The company's not saying how much it'll pay. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
David, Juul said that this settlement, if approved, would close personal injury and consumer class action lawsuits, as well as claims brought by governments and Native American tribes. There are more than 5,000 cases in all. These are consolidated in a federal court in California. Juul has not admitted to any wrongdoing, and while the company did not disclose a price tag for the settlement, as you mentioned, it did say that it has obtained equity investment to fund the settlement.
How should we process the lack of a price tag here?
Well, one way to process it is that this settlement is going to take a while. We're not completely done with it yet. And you can kind of tell that from the company's own statement. Here's what it says in part. It says, these settlements represent a major step toward strengthening Juul's lab's operations and securing the company's path forward. Not exactly a we're putting this behind us moment, David. Eventually, we do expect some of the settlement money at least to go to dozens of school districts around the country, which are contending with teenagers who used vaping products and got hooked on the high nicotine content. And there are still other lawsuits the company has to deal with. And in September, we do have one number settlement for $400 million with states and territories in the U.S.
All right, Nova, thank you. With Democrat Raphael Warnock taking the Georgia Senate seat yesterday, we now know the makeup of the next Congress. Let's take today's economic pulse by turning to Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. Good morning to you, Karen.
Morning, David.
I mean, not news that Republicans are above the threshold for a majority in the House of Representatives by 3 votes, but one more Democrat in the U.S. Senate is the news here this morning. Does that, do you think, alter this country's economic agenda in the new year?
I don't think so. First and foremost, the economic agenda doesn't care what happens in the Congress. It really cares what happens in the supermarket, at the gas station, wage deciding sessions in the corner office. That's where the economy's future is most fundamentally going to be decided in 2023.
Karen, you know I have my market screens open in front of me at most times here. We've had a droopy stock market, especially in the last couple of days. Some of it seems to be consternation that Fed-engineered higher interest rates is not knocking down the economy as quickly as some of these people had hoped.
I think the more fundamental issue is continuing concern about Fed credibility and the challenge the central bank is having making policy in an economy as unequal as ours. The averages, the numbers, whether it's the Fed's, quote, robust employment numbers or the pride they like to take in lower wage growth, these are all phenomena that don't translate into robust or even stable economic growth because the majority of American households are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no margin for error in most households, and I think the Fed has failed fully to understand that.
I mean, Federal Reserve officials talk about addressing inequality, but their broad policy, raising and lowering interest rates, you know, has this aggregate effect. It affects everybody, whether or not someone is doing well or someone is struggling.
Yeah, well, they talk about it, but they don't do anything about it. The Fed's view is that any thought about what the law calls the general welfare is beyond the Fed's mandate. It has ignored interest rates at our great peril since 2012, and it is paying the price, as are the rest of us, for a decade of ultra-low rates that created tremendous amounts of financial speculation and the inequality that is now making it impossible to get stable long-term growth.
Regular views from a variety of perspectives. The Marketplace Economic Pulse. Today with Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington. Karen, always good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, David.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Movie theaters are on track to bring in $7 billion this year, according to estimates from Comscore. Now, that's up from last year, but still well below the $11 billion in box office we saw in a typical year prior to pandemic. Part of the dynamic now, fewer films and older audiences not going to see the movies that are there, Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
When Janae Franklin was a kid, she and her parents loved going to the movies together where they lived in Maryland. That continued into her adulthood. So when the Black Panther sequel came out last month,
it was never a question that we wouldn't see it in theaters.
Franklin's 31, and young people like her are buying tickets, especially to blockbusters. But others have gotten out of the habit. Sam Adams is a senior editor in the culture department at Slate.
What's really disastrous right now is this art house audience, that kind of older crowd, they're not coming back.
There are also way fewer movies to come back to. Only 66 in wide release so far this year, about a third fewer than in 2019. That's according to Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for Comscore. To try to bring people in, he says, some movie theaters are showing things that aren't traditional movies.
Movie theaters need more content, and what they're doing is they're getting video games, championships, viewed and played in theaters.
Along with operas and concerts, both current and vintage. For example, the last thing DeGarabedian saw was Harvest Time, about the making of a Neil Young album 50 years ago. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And the last of the jumbo jets with the big head rolled off Boeing's assembly line in Everett, Washington yesterday. The last new 747 will carry freight. Airlines prefer two-engined beasts now, more fuel-efficient. Been on them many times, but never, not once, was allowed to climb the circular stairs to paradise. The 747s with a special lounge where, I assumed, only the finest of champagnes, beluga caviar, and white Tuscan truffle would be on offer. David Brunk got your Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.